As the reports roll in, the Green Bay Packers are poised to sign a high number of undrafted rookies, nearly 20 of them in all. They'll hit the practice field this weekend, but before they do, we bring on Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus to find out more about them. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the newest rookie class of the Green Bay Packers. On Monday, we talked about the draft picks. Today and Wednesday, we're talking about the undrafted free agents. Friday, we're talking about the tryout players. But to do so, we've got a guest joining us today on the phone.
Expert interview.
We've got Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus joining us. Mike, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Brian?
Good. We're glad to have you on the show, and we're going to run through a lot of these Packers undrafted free agents, learning more about them. And, Mike, let's start with wide receiver Geronimo Allison from Illinois. He was the only Packers undrafted free agent that was invited to the Senior Bowl. So on one hand, I'm thinking, here's a steal. And on the other hand, I'm thinking, wait, if he made the Senior Bowl, why didn't he get drafted? So where do you fall on the spectrum here with Allison?
Yeah, Allison's a curious case. We didn't end up having a draftable grade on him just because his drops were so concerning. I know he had 12 drops last year and 83 catchable passes. That was one of the highest rates in all of college football. But when I watch him catch balls, I think he has something there. I think he can improve upon that because he catches the ball away from his body, and he's a real smooth athlete. Even if he's not terribly athletic, he moves very well for a wide receiver. I thought he ran good routes, but those drops are concerning. And then he still isn't that good of an athlete. He's not going to beat you deep. He's going to be a possession type guy if he does end up making the roster.
Interesting to hear more about him. I hope for the best. Let's talk about tight end David Greenidge of North Carolina State. Greenidge was one of the few underclassmen entries the Packers signed. So do you think he'll be the type of player that's still raw and going to be a project?
Yeah, he's not terribly athletic also. I think he ran around a 5-second 40-yard dash, which is never good for a tight end. But tight end's one position, you can kind of get away with it if you have some other tools in your toolbox. And I think he does. He has good hands. Only one drop last season. He graded out just around average as a run blocker. But I think of all these guys, he might have the best chance of making the Packers roster just because, as you said, he was an underclassman. He was still productive, still graded positively, one of our higher graded tight ends in the nation, even though I think he was the second string tight end there. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I liked what I saw from a receiving aspect. I think he's a natural receiver. We had a borderline draftable grade on him when all was said and done.
Sticking with the skill position players, running back Don Jackson of Nevada. Here's a kid that was a 1,000-yard rusher at Nevada and has 4.4 speed. Is he flying under the radar?
We didn't care for Jackson at all, to be honest. He got completely outperformed by his teammate, James Butler. He really just, there's not much elusiveness there. I know he's a great athlete, but there's not much in terms of what he can do once you get touched. He only averaged, I think, not a great yards after contact. I don't actually have it offhand right now, but he only broke 25 tackles on 229 carries all year, which is, that's one of the lowest rate. That's a very, very low rate for a starting running back. I know David Perkins broke 73 on the same amount of carries, so almost three times as many. And his own teammate had fewer carries and broke over twice as many tackles. So not a very elusive back, and he actually ended up grading out negatively as a runner, which is fairly rare for a starting running back who ends up making it in the NFL.
Interesting. For a guy that's got 4.4 speed, I'm surprised to hear that. But let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the football. Linebacker Boniquez Brown of Mississippi State. Obviously, inside linebacker is a need for the Packers, and Brown was another underclassman entry. Does he have NFL talent?
I think he also has, this is another guy I think has a chance of making the roster. He's a little undersized and nothing special athletically, but I like what I saw from him in terms of has the ability to beat blocks. He had a positive run defense grade against SEC competition, and his pass coverage grade was right around average. He's not a guy who's going to, you know, stack and shed blocks. He's not that strong. He's not that, doesn't have that much length, but I thought his balance is very good. He plays under control. And if he can just clean up and get some quicker reads, the next level, he can make an impact. I think, I'm not sure he offers too much upside, but I think he has a shot at making a roster.
We're talking to Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Mike, next player on my list, linebacker Manoah Pakula from BYU. And just looking at his tackle numbers, I saw Pakula was moderately productive, like 50-some tackles. And I'm wondering why not more, because a lot of middle linebackers will have double that in a season.
Yeah, he truthfully didn't even play that many snaps, actually. He was only playing about 50% of the snaps at BYU. I think he only played 472 snaps on the season there. So he was getting taken out, I think, he was only in there on their dime packages, I believe, or their nickel and dime type packages. So he was only in those. So that's why he didn't have that many tackle numbers, and that's why his run defense isn't great. It's hard to get a good run defense grade when you're in those packages, just because, especially in college, because stuff gets so spread out, you're just going to miss more tackles in those cases. So run defense isn't great, but I thought he offered something as a pass rusher. He had one of the higher pass rushing grades for linebackers in college football. He's explosive when he wants to be. I think he's a much better athlete than Boniquez Brown, but he's shorter. I think he's around 6 foot. But he has some explosiveness to him when he wants to be. But the thing is, he's not always playing explosively. Sometimes he's extremely passive in coverage and against the run. He's just not a quick read and react guy. I think if you have him as kind of the weak side in the 3-4, he could offer something. But his instincts were just so slow to me that it was scary to me. And he would get swallowed up if he was ever asked to take on blocks at the next level.
All right, let's take a look at Reggie Gilbert, kind of an edge defender, one of those defensive end, outside linebacker hybrids from Arizona. Here's a guy that played at a big-time program and even earned some all-conference honors. Will it translate to the NFL?
Yeah, like you said, he played base 3-4 defensive end there, but that's not going to be his position in the NFL. He's going to be outside linebacker, and he would, in some packages, rush from the outside at times. Or even, I think the Packers call it the elephant. Is that the
pretty much
position out? The elephant? Okay, yeah. I think that would be probably best suited for him. Kind of his hand on the ground, but off the outside of the tackle. He flashed some pass rushing moves. I think he was one of the highest graded players in terms of the guys in the Packers UDFA class. I think he had one of the highest grades. He's very productive there at Arizona. And I liked what I saw from him in the Stanford game, which is encouraging because he really had a good grade against Stanford and flashed some nice pass rushing moves off the edge that were, you know, not everyone has those coming out of college. So he has some moves, obviously not a great athlete either, but and not really a guy with a great position that will translate to the NFL. But I think he offers something, and another guy who has a chance to make the roster.
Oh, you're getting me excited about him. Hey, if he can be a situational pass rusher as an undrafted free agent, that sounds good to me. But let's talk about Kentrell Bryce, a safety from Louisiana Tech. He had huge workout numbers, a 42-inch vertical, a 4.4 in the 40-yard dash. But how was his on-field production?
Yeah, so his on-field production was very good, actually. His coverage grade was 15th nationally among all safeties. He played mostly free safety there at LA Tech, but he would come down and cover the slot at times. I liked his instincts at free safety position. I thought he was, you know, reading routes well and, you know, splitting seams and stuff like that well. But that athleticism didn't seem to show up on tape. He wasn't all that explosive in terms of stop-start ability and changing direction ability. So that's probably worrisome. That's probably why he ended up going undrafted. NFL teams hate guys without change of direction ability in the secondary. So that to me was also worrisome. But yeah, and in terms of a straight line guy, if you do have him in a center field role and he's just, you know, trying to go run out or run to a sideline, run to that. He has that kind of explosiveness to get there, but I'm worried about him in that kind of slot role or anything else where he has to play coverage on a receiver going to the NFL.
One more guy before we let you go, defensive tackle Brian Price from Texas San Antonio. Tell us about his college experience.
Yeah, Price is another guy who played limited snaps there at Texas San Antonio. Came off the field a lot. I only played under 500 snaps last year, and then only played under 300 snaps the year before that. So he was not playing much. And truthfully, I'm not sure how he ended up making it on a roster here because, you know, Texas San Antonio didn't produce that much, played in a limited role. Maybe he tested well. I didn't end up getting to see his testing numbers, but he must have done something in that respect to get the call because, yeah, I watched a handful of his games and just nothing much in terms of run or pass rush. Sorry to say, just I didn't see much. Maybe he was hurt this year because in 2014 he graded out better, but still, yeah, right around average in terms of pass rush and run defense. So, and against small school competition, so not really much to say about him.
Yeah. Sometimes the big body just intrigues people, I think. But, Mike, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us. Appreciate it. It's tough to find guests who know so much about these kind of guys, the guys that go undrafted. So greatly appreciate your insight and glad to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Brian. It was fun.
No problem. Thank you. Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Like I said, we talked about all the draft class on Monday. We're talking about the undrafted free agents today on Wednesday. We're going to talk about the tryout players on Friday. So that's how we're breaking up things this week, catering to the hardcore fan. Like I said on Twitter, if you're the type of person who searches YouTube videos of the guys, the undrafted free agents the Packers signed, today's podcast is for you. So glad to kick things off with an expert from Pro Football Focus. And now we continue on with the show. I want to share, first of all, before we get into our next segment, some of my thoughts on the Packers undrafted free agent class. And I want to start by something if you follow me on Twitter, I got into this on there because I was really excited about it. The one guy I'm excited about more than anybody else, and I asked Mike Renner about him, was Kentrell Bryce from Louisiana Tech. And he, you know, I said, you know, the workout numbers obviously like jump off the page. A 42-inch vertical, that's as high as pretty much anybody at the NFL Combine. 4.4 in the 40, which is extremely fast for a guy who plays the safety position. And I just was watching. There's not a whole ton of film on him, but they do have like one game from when Louisiana Tech played Oklahoma this past season. So, you know, playing against major college competition. And there is a video. It may have been the 2014 season, actually. Regardless, Kentrell Bryce, there's a clip, there's a play out there. If you go just Google his name or type it in on YouTube, it'll pop right up. Watch him defend the option against Sterling Shepard of Oklahoma. Sterling Shepard, a guy who, you know, was just a second round draft choice of the New York Giants. So, you know, really good talent. A lot of people have compared him to Randall Cobb. And he gets an option, you know, pitch from the quarterback. Kentrell Bryce not only forced the quarterback to give up the ball, he then made the tackle on Sterling Shepard for pretty much no gain. It was just remarkable that he was able to both force the pitch and make the tackle on the same play. I'm like, wow, this guy's got the talent. I looked up more about him. He, in 2014, which is statistically his best season, it's not like he fell off his senior season, really, but the 2014 season, he made 65 solo tackles, which was the highest number in all of Conference USA. So, you know, out of the whole conference, 12 teams, he made the most solo tackles from the free safety position. I really like what he offers. Like Mike said, you know, there are some drawbacks and the reasons, you know, maybe the reasons is, you know, the change of direction, the stop and start, maybe not quite there. He is a little bit undersized. You know, he's only 5'11". He doesn't, you know, have this huge frame or anything like that. And because of that, you worry a little bit about, you know, maybe his durability at the NFL level. In fact, if you go watch that Oklahoma game, he had to be like taken off the field twice where he gets injured and they stop play. He would come back both times, which tells you a little bit about his toughness. But the fact, like, you know, they had to stop and he had to come off the field at least temporarily, you know, you worry about his you know, durability, because he's a guy who hits like a Mack truck, especially for his size. I mean, he is not afraid to throw his body around. I'm excited about him more than anybody else, any of the undrafted free agents the Packers signed, because I, you know, at the very least, he can be a special teams type of guy while he kind of bides his time and learns more about the defense and things for the Green Bay Packers. But I'm really excited to see him in a green and gold uniform. And if there's a second guy, it's probably Mackinton Dorleant from Northern Iowa. So actually played at the FCS level. And I got something for you here. And if you remember, before the NFL draft, we're talking like back in March here, we had DeAndre Hall on for an interview at Railbird Central. DeAndre Hall was Mackinton Dorleant's his teammate at Northern Iowa. And DeAndre Hall actually got drafted in the fourth round by the Cincinnati Bengals. So here's, I if you remember, I actually played this on a previous episode. And it's only about 30 seconds here or so. But here is his own teammate, DeAndre Hall, talking about Mackinton Dorleant, the newly signed cornerback by the Green Bay Packers. Listen in.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, you know, pretty darn good for a 1AA team to have two cornerbacks to go in the, you know, possibly the NFL. What do you like about his game?
He's a dog. You know, he's a dog. And that's plain and simple. You know, he definitely brings a different aspect to the game, especially at cornerback, because you gotta have a mentality of, you're not gonna beat me, you know, every play. You gotta have that mentality at cornerback. And even if that is the case, you get beat, you gotta come right back, you know. So with Magnuson, his speed is great. I mean, I've personally never seen somebody run so fast and get in and out of their breaks the way he can. So, you know, we definitely mimicked each other's game a little bit there at our time at Northern Iowa. But definitely blessings for him, and I hope for the best for him.
Yeah.
So there you go. DeAndre Hall on Mackinton Dorleant. Dorleant is one of the players I think is one of the Packers' best free agent signings. As noted by Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, although Dorleant played outside almost exclusively at Northern Iowa, he focused on playing in the slot at the NFLPA Bowl, which is where his future might lie. Because he's not a big guy either. He's like 5'11". He's not one of these really tall corners. So I think he's going to face a learning curve here. And it may take him some time to learn the ins and outs of playing the slot corner position. You know, guarding the slot type of wide receiver and the two-way goes, guys that can break both inside and outside. That's going to be, you know, it's going to take time for him. But I think he is really talented, just, you know, watching his film, the few, you know, videos I was able to find. I think he's got some speed. He was actually a return specialist there at Northern Iowa, returned punts, returned kickoffs for them. So he offers that. I know it'd kind of be probably a long shot for him to do that, you know, in Green Bay when you got guys like Jeff Janis and you know, Ty Montgomery there ahead of him on the pecking order to do those kind of duties. But it's nice that he has that experience, can always do it in pinch, can do it during the preseason, things like that. So really excited to see him. And again, another guy, he's also like on the gunner team on punts. I think he can offer that to the Packers. And that's, you know, huge as a rookie coming in as an undrafted rookie. That might be his ticket to the team, is you got to be a special teams, you know, demon to make the roster. And if you do, you know, may not play much at all on defense. But, you know, you remember Dimitri Goodson, Packers cornerback, has suspended the first four games of the season. And that's not exactly, you know, his you know, hold on a roster spot is rather iffy, especially when you consider that suspension. So a guy like Mackinton Dorleon could come in and, you know, offer some things to the Green Bay Packers. Few thoughts on just a few other players that I didn't ask Pro Football Focus about. A lot of it was because, you know, Pro Football Focus focuses their, you know, what they grade players from the FBS level and don't always grade guys from the FCS. So, you know, I just wanted to share a few thoughts on some of those kind of guys. Like Joe Callahan, the Packers signed a quarterback from a Division III college, Wesley College. And looks, you know, obviously the statistics jump out. He really had, you know, huge seasons there and put up big numbers, but again, at a lower level. And that's why you take everything with a grain of salt. But, you know, just being a quarterback, you know, Joe Callahan, you think, stands a chance just because the Packers' third quarterback on their roster, Ryan Williams, is no sure thing. He's just a guy the Packers are basically taking a flyer on as well. So Joe Callahan comes in and could easily push Ryan Williams for the number three spot on the Packers roster. And you have to imagine this year, as long as both Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley are healthy, the Packers are probably only going to carry two quarterbacks on the roster. It would take something special out of one of these guys for the Packers to carry three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. Certainly, they'll carry one on the practice squad. You almost have to if you're only going to carry two on the regular roster. So one of these guys, you know, will stick around, whether it's Callahan, whether it's Ryan Williams. You know, that's you know, one of them's going to have a shot there. So just from that standpoint, Joe Callahan is intriguing because he's got a good shot, it really, is Ryan Williams to step in and you know, have a chance to be potentially the Packers' number three quarterback. And who knows where they can go from there and develop him. Another guy I'm really interested in seeing, and I know nothing about, I've seen nothing, perhaps maybe there's something out there and I just haven't seen it yet. Defensive lineman Tyler Cooter of Idaho State, you know, big guy, over 300 pounds. He's like 6'1", 6'2". But the one thing I know about him, just looking at his statistics, he had 92 tackles his senior season. This is a guy who weighs over 300 pounds. He made 92 tackles. That's amazing. I was looking at the first round draft pick, you know, of the Green Bay Packers, Kenny Clark. He made like 75 tackles. And I was like, wow, that's a big number for a nose tackle. Here, the undrafted free agent, the backer side, Tyler Cooter, 92 tackles. For the same guy, you know, over 300 pounds. I just want to see what he's doing to make that many tackles out there. That's really interesting. I know nothing about him, but I'm excited to see him and see his hustle and how he makes so many tackles. So I'm excited about that. Punter Peter Mortel. I'm really excited about this one because I don't think Tim Mastay has a strong hold on the punter job. I mean, certainly the Packers would go with him just because he's a known quantity if you know, they can't provide any competition. But I think Mortel can, and it, you know, it's just interesting, his connections to the Green Bay Packers. They've been published in several outlets now. You know, both his father and his grandfather before him were the clock operators at Lambeau Field and still are. So Peter Mortel, you know, there's Packers tradition there within the family, the guys who run the clock during games. And you know, he grew up in Green Bay. I believe he went to Notre Dame Academy. So for him to kind of come back home is just you know, a special story there. He's a really interesting guy. If you go, like, were to search him on Google, you'll find some funny things pop up, like Peter Martell proclaimed himself, like, holder of the year. This isn't a, you know, they give away a lot of awards in college football for almost every position. They don't give one for holder of the year, place kick holder. But he proclaimed himself that, and regardless of him proclaiming himself, he offers that. He has experience, you know, extensive experience doing that. So he could do that with the Green Bay Packers, which I think just makes him more valuable to the team. So I'm really excited to see Peter Martell, you know, come in. He was he's Minnesota's record holder in gross punting average, average like 44 yards a punt, which is really good. And you know, the thing against him, again, according to the report from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, was really kind of interesting. Talked to, I believe, a special teams coach in the NFL. And he's like, Peter Martell had like one of the worst hang times of all the punters he charted, and, you know, at least draftable or, you know, guys who were worth looking at least at the punting position. And so I don't, you know, that's just, I'm just going off a report telling you what I read. I haven't sat there with a stopwatch and timed him myself. Hopefully that's something he can work on, but excited to see what he offers there. Another guy, running back Brandon Burks from Troy. Here's another 1,000-yard rusher and a back that caught a bunch of passes out of the backfield. We're talking about 30-plus passes a season. So he's the kind of guy who's, you know, is, you know, experienced in catching the ball out of the backfield. So I think that's interesting there. And finally, wide receiver Devontae Robinson from Utah State. He only had modest production there at Utah State. But I look at, you know, his workout. He's got 4.4 speed. And then if you dig a little deeper into him, he actually started out his college career at West Virginia, so a big-time program. And then from there, he went the junior college route and ended up, you know, for his last two seasons at Utah State. So I wonder if he's just the kind of guy that got lost in the shuffle and needs some stability, you know, like one place to stick and stay where a team can develop him, because that 4.4 speed is really intriguing. It sounds like he could really be a deep threat. And so I'm excited to see him as well. Those are just some thoughts off the top of my head, more or less, about the undrafted rookie class of the Green Bay Packers, kind of, you know, focusing my thoughts more or less on guys I didn't ask Mike Renner about. So, but lots of guys in total, excited to see them in a Packers uniform. Can't wait till training camp and see these guys in action. Should be very, very cool. So there you go. There's your extensive episode on the undrafted rookie free agent class. And with that, we continue on.
Packers news of the day.
Just very briefly here. The Packers declined the fifth-year option on defensive lineman / outside linebacker Dayton Jones on Monday. Monday was the deadline for the Packers to do so, and they didn't. And really didn't come as a surprise, especially seeing as they didn't last year on Nick Perry. And, you know, there's probably a lot of parallels you can draw between the two players, Perry and Dayton Jones. I mean, certainly different size-wise. Jones is a much bigger player. But in terms of, they were both been first-round draft picks that really haven't lived up to the hype so far. And both of them have suffered injuries and setbacks that it may be part of that and part of the reason they haven't been able to kind of, you know, make their mark. And but still, guys, both of them really that still have a chance. You're like, they flash enough that you're like, well, maybe if these guys can just stay healthy, they can go out there and be good, you know, if not Pro Bowl players, good contributors perhaps. And, you know, this past season, Dayton Jones did the position change, kind of becoming an outside linebacker, that elephant end in essence for the Green Bay Packers. And And, you know, with Mike Neal out of the picture, kind of stands to figure that Jones is only going to get more playing time going forward here. And, you know, just because he didn't get the fifth-year option, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything in that, you know, the Packers could still certainly re-sign him. They just don't have to be beholden to that fifth-year option. You know, he's only entering his fourth. And they don't exactly want to commit to the fifth before they even see the fourth season. So they want to see him, and it'll, you know, there'll be a decision made on Dayton Jones a year from now, whether they'll re-sign him, just like they did with Nick Perry. They declined the option on him and still re-signed him. So we could be seeing the same thing down the road here. But yeah, Packers making it official on Monday. No option exercised on Dayton Jones. And that's really, you know, since the draft ended, that's one of the few Packers news items coming out, except for the, you know, all the rookies they're signing. And that leads us into
the day ahead.
The day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers on Thursday. So tomorrow, a Red Cross blood drive is going to be held at Lambeau Field from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the Legends Room at Lambeau Field inside the atrium. So if you happen to live in the Green Bay area or can make it out to there, do your part and donate. I believe they give away special gifts for all the players, you know, like some Packers-themed little trinket they'll give you for donating blood. My wife works for the Red Cross, so I very much encourage you to go out and donate that taking place on Thursday at Lambeau Field. But also, Thursday evening, the Packers typically hold orientation and dinner for all the rookies before they practice then on Friday and Saturday. So Packers rookie minicamp taking place this weekend. They'll practice Friday, Saturday, but they take care of all the, you know, the orientation and you know, I imagine physicals and things the day before. So the players actually coming to Green Bay, you know, probably traveling right now on Wednesday, so they're there in time for Thursday, for a lot of them at least. So the players finally coming to Green Bay, coming to Titletown for the first time. And so, yeah, Thursday night, they actually, you know, Mike McCarthy usually likes to tell a story about how they, like, the night before they practice, they'll usually watch, like, this inspirational, like, video on the history of the Packers and really kind of indoctrinate them into the rich history of the team and kind of the special, you know, environment that they're getting into. So I think that's really cool. And they do that for all the rookies here as they practice for the first time in a Packers uniform. So we're going to break it all down later in the week. Like I said, on Friday, the focus of our episode will be about the tryout players, the guys who are fighting for the last few roster spots on the Green Bay Packers. We'll be having Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, in his usual monthly engagement, the first Friday of every month, joining us on Friday to talk about that. We'll be talking more about other players too, but really want to focus on those tryout type of guys. And get you primed to get you ready for rookie mini camp this weekend. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us today. Thank you to Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus for joining the show. Glad to have his insight. And we'll see you again in just a few days. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge. No subscription, no paywall. So if you could, the one small thing, if you do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star review and a few words. We'd really appreciate it because it helps us get word out about the show and helps people find it and hear more about the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see you later, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll talk to you again on Friday. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, and I'm having a hard time finding my music today. Let's just go with this. Different Light by Steve Winwood on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.